Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, I probably, Seth, should have reminded you, because I'm just reminding myself right now. We have to do a circle of swarm in about 18 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is. I started thinking about this. I'm like, all right, the Jacksonville game feels like it was 4 months ago right now.
The Laramie Tunsil idea that I floated out there after the Jaguars game has been weighing heavily on
me. Okay, well, let's don't give it away. Like, there's your tease. Could we possibly see our first offensive lineman in the Payne and Pendergast Circle of Swarm? The Circle of Swarm was on a bye last week as well. So this is our first one that we've done since the Friday before the Jacksonville game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll do that at 7:20-ish on the show today. I think I'll be ready for it. I think we can do this thing on the fly. I think I'll remember some of the things that happened in the Jacksonville game.
Well, it's a
season-long thing.
It's a combination of things, yeah. It's a gut feel thing based whatever.
The big question, does Azeez Al-Shaair get into the Circle of Swarm when he did maybe the swarmiest thing of the season, but got suspended for 3 games because of it? That's the big question.
Right, there's only 6 positions. I don't know if I can squander one on a guy that's not going to be available for 3 weeks.
That's fair. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe I can, though. You never know. All right, so we'll see. Circle of Swarm coming up at around 7:20 on the show. Here was D'Amico Ryans when he was asked, speaking of 3 games in 11 days, as Seth just alluded to, the handling of that. You got 3 games in 11 days coming up, starting on Sunday with the Dolphins, Chiefs next Saturday, and then the Ravens on Christmas Day. What's your outlook on handling that, D'Amico?
Yeah, the biggest challenge for us right now is the Dolphins, and that's the only thing we can control is the upcoming game versus the Dolphins. Everything else with the schedule, it kind of takes care of itself, but if you're focused about 3 games, like, we can't play 3 games at one time. So our focus is on the Dolphins, and that's going to take all of our focus because they're such a really good football team.
Okay, so that's D'Amico. Let's hear from CJ on this as well. Let's see how in sync the head coach and the quarterback are on this topic.
Oh, it's hard to, you know, jump ahead and, you know, and especially when you got, you know, three good teams to play. You know, you got to take care of one at a time. And, you know, now we're just focused on Miami, you know, trying to ace that. And then, you know, we'll look past that right when the game is over. So, you know, I'm actually excited about it. But, you know, anything worth in life isn't easy. So it's not going to be easy. But I think, you know, that difficulty of it will help us in the long run.
Okay, so CJ's talking about it a little more than D'Amico. But the overall message the same with both guys there.
You know, the whole thing about it is, for one, and Bobby Slogan said basically a lot of the, you know, the planning or the worrying about or whatever about this three-game stretch, that's something that they handled in the offseason. You have a plan for how you're going to practice, all that. So I don't – and you have to tweak it based on injuries, obviously.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're – it's not like all of a sudden they realize we've got three games in 11 days. The only game that really concerns me is the Ravens game.
Mm-hmm.
It's because otherwise it's just a normal – okay, you're playing this week after a week off. Then you got a slightly short week playing on a Saturday. No big deal. It's really what happens immediately after that Kansas City game. How injured are you? What have you done in the past two games? All of that really puts all that extra pressure on a quick turnaround and playing on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, yeah, I know there's a test here coming up somewhere in the future, but that's long, long, long. That's way off. I'll worry about it when we get to it.
Yeah.
That short week before the Ravens game.
That makes sense. Now, along those lines, they can clinch the division this weekend, the Texans. We could come in here on Monday and be talking about on Monday, December 16th, and be talking about an AFC South championship. I don't know if that's the earliest they would have clinched a division, the Texans. This would be their eighth division championship since 2011. But it's pretty damn early if they're able to do it. They need, for those who don't know, a Texans win and a Colts loss this weekend clinches the division for the Texans. Any combination for the rest of the season of two Texans wins plus Colts losses, that's the magic number. So, you know, if any combination of that, and they are division champs. CJ was asked about that very first question at his press conference on Wednesday about being in position to clinch the division so early.
Yeah, I mean, you want to put yourself in that position, you know, to win the division as early as possible. But ultimately, you know, we got to go and focus on the Dolphins and Miami and take care of this. A real good football team coming in here that's getting their groove back and rolling right now. So, you know, we got our hands full with them and got to make sure that we're, you know, on our A game when it comes to beating the Dolphins.
It's interesting because they would clinch the division. If they win and the Colts lose, they would clinch the division. And look, the very, very high percentage here, Seth, is they're going to be the four seed. Right now, in the standings in the AFC, the Texans are two games back of the Steelers, who are 10-3. They're two games back of the Bills, but they do have the tiebreaker over the Bills. So that's an interesting scenario right there. I know mathematically there's a chance they can catch the Chiefs, who are 12-1, and they play the Chiefs next week. They ain't catching the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose out and the Texans win out. So let's not pretend like the number one seed is a possibility. They're two games back of both of these teams here, one of whom they have a win over. If they they're going to play everybody in this game. They're going to play everybody in that Chiefs game. There is a chance that they come into the Christmas Day game with the Ravens with no chance to change their status in life.
Right.
That they are embedded in the four seed. The records of the wild card teams don't matter. You're going to have home field over those teams regardless of when you play them, first round, second round, whatever. So if you're embedded in the four seed, the same way a one seed, like the Chiefs are going to have to start making decisions like this, maybe on the Christmas Day game for them as well, that they will have clinched the one seed. How would you handle that if the Texans can't change their seed on Christmas Day against the Ravens, a home game with Beyonce playing at halftime that people have paid a pretty penny to go see? Would you rest guys in that game?
Okay, I'm going to answer that. Real quick, I just want to point out that the Steelers have remaining on their schedule, the Eagles,
yep,
the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bengals.
Yep.
So, like, there is... So,
total
that aside, I'm not... Yeah, like, I think there's a chance. But anyway, as far as that, this is the conundrum I find myself in.
Yeah.
I understand very much that, hey, you're right up against the playoffs at that point.
Yep.
You might see the Ravens in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And do you want to show your hand? We talked about this on Corey Barrett's chat last night as well. This is where I am with that. I'm going to stick to my old school guns, and I think that D'Amico would feel this way too. Look, there's a game to be played. You show up versus one of the better teams in the league, and you play those guys. It's Chris. The people in the stadium are not that he should make his decision on this, but the people are there on Christmas Day. Damn it! You know, don't go all NBA from a few years ago and rest all the marquee guys. The other part of it is this: you start sending the message for this team. I'm talking about this Texans team this year.
Yeah.
Do you start sending the message that, like, well, we're going to think about this strategically, and we need to be careful and keep the big picture in mind? You're inviting softness. You're inviting a mentality that this team cannot afford to have. I think the defense could handle it.
Yeah.
You can't invite that attitude into this offensive line where they're starting to show some signs of progress.
Yeah.
And this is an offensive line that all through training camp, look, I get resting your guys, keeping them healthy during training camp. They treated this offensive line like it was the 1990 Dallas Cowboys, like they were made men. And you never saw the whole offensive line out there together during camp. No. Like, and then again, the GPS data says this. The GPS data, throw the damn GPS monitors into the freaking pond when it comes to the offensive line. Those guys need to be out there getting better against good competition, just like they should have been during training camp. You got, they're well rested because you didn't work them too hard during training camp. Great. Then you sucked for 8 games. Like, no, none of that. I will allow none of it.
Even though that game is 4 days after you played the Chiefs on the road.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay.
You get out there and you play football because you're a football player. You allow that offensive line to feel like they're just like, well, we're sitting pretty. Won the AFC South. Did you see that? No way.
How do you?
And the offense in general, just they need to keep working on their timing and their execution and everything else like that.
Not to get way too far ahead of ourselves, but there's a very high. So that's the Christmas Day game. And I get what you're saying. There's a lot of stuff that would need to happen for the Texans to be clinched and embedded in the 4 seed and not being able to move one way or the other. I understand that. Steelers are going to lose a game probably, and it's all moot, and the Texans might be able to catch them. But real quick, do you have the same mentality about that? Because there's a 99% chance that Tennessee game at the end of the year at Tennessee means nothing for the Texans.
Right, that's where I get a little bit more. That's like the conventional variety of, all right, you're going to do the smart thing and everything. I'll go back to the 2007 Giants when it was a different situation, and the Giants couldn't improve their position when they played the Patriots, who were undefeated at the time.
Yeah.
But Tom Coughlin wanted, they went out, they competed, they tried to win that game.
Almost
they battled.
Won, yeah.
And, the Giants players will tell you, some of them were skeptical going into that game, and afterwards they're like, yeah, look at that. We can hang with these guys. And ultimately they end up beating them in the Super Bowl. So I think when you go up against the Ravens, the team that destroyed you in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, okay.
Don't give them another chance to destroy you in the regular season because you're resting your fancy lads.
Okay, that's that last point you made right there about the specificity of the opponent is, I think, and you made some great points. That one is the one that resonates with me the most right there. Is the fact that this group of Texans got their heads handed to them by largely this group of Ravens at the beginning of last season
and at the end
of last season. Yeah. And now they got Derrick Henry also, who, by the way, you handed his head to him last year a couple of
times, right.
Derrick Henry. So,
that's right.
So that's,
you could take it back from him again.
I hope they play their guys only because, it's a big game, man. And this is something, I wonder if the league is a little nervous about this, though. You know, they put these games, because there is a good chance that the Chiefs in the first Christmas Day game and the Texans in the second Christmas Day game have great arguments to rest guys playing a game on 4 days against the Ravens and the Steelers, like two of the hardest hitting physical teams in the league.
Yeah.
To play a game against those two teams of all teams 4 days after you just played the other guy in the round. It's almost like this round robin Saturday, Wednesday thing with these 4 teams.
Yeah.
I wonder if Netflix in the league is just a little bit nervous right now about that,
about what all might unfold.
About who
know.
Might it get rested like it. About there. It might, yeah. that it might be, I don't even know who the backup is in Kansas City. It might be Mahomes for a quarter, that they're treating it like a preseason game or something.
Let me answer the question for you. The NFL at this point, is just such an unstoppable force. It almost doesn't matter. That'll change over time and everything, but over the last decade or so, I don't think it matters. Yeah. I don't think they're fretting about it or anything
The most watched game this year was Cooper Rush versus Drew Lock Thanksgiving Day. They got 38 million people. You're absolutely right.
Now, don't get cocky and complacent in that and everything, but it's not. Now, the other thing about the Chiefs is this. Lady Luck, she's a fickle whore. You know, and the Chiefs have had a lot of lucky moments this year. And if it were any other team, you would look at the Chiefs and say, well, yeah, like, okay, yeah, that's the record, but there's a lot of luck involved. We know better than that. Yeah. And yet, at some point, the luck will change. Mm-hmm. And some of these lucky breaks are going to go the opponent's way.
Yeah.
Just come on, Lady Luck. You've been good to me in life.
Right.
Just show up one more time
Can't
for me, please.
Can't you be a fickle whore for once here against the
yeah.
Chiefs?
I know I just called you a fickle whore, but we can move past that. Yeah. We can move beyond it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Scenarios. Now, look, and we're doing the exact opposite right now of what D'Amico and CJ were just talking about. You know, like, we're like, so what if this happens with the Chiefs? And then how do you handle week 17? Oh, by the way, Seth, how would you handle week 18 if they had clinched everything? So there's a lot of football.
Beat
the Dolphins. Yeah.
Well, somebody asked that the other day in the press conference. It was a good question. It was a fair question, but asked D'Amico about the playoff scenarios and whether he addresses that with his team. And my thought was, well, like, what's that pep talk look like? Like, hey, guys, all we have to do is win one of these next four games and hope that the Colts lose and we clinch. Like, you're not in the position right now. If it gets down to, you know, week 17 or 18, then you maybe talk about the playoff scenarios. But right now, it's too depressing of a conversation to use as a pep talk.
Okay, that's fair. But let's I don't want to let D'Amico off the hook here. He said in that, I know the answer you're talking about, I think it was the first question of the press conference, if I'm not mistaken, where he said, I don't even know what the scenarios are.
It was later in the press conference.
It was? Okay, yeah, whatever. So whenever it was, he's like, I don't even know what the scenarios are for the playoff clinching. Do you buy that? Do you buy that
he doesn't? 100%.
You think 100%. He doesn't know that if they win and the Colts lose this weekend that they clinch the division?
Yeah, I do. Or at least maybe somebody told him, but he just was like, yeah, whatever. I don't think he's I think he's eating his own chow on that one. I think that's he's probably generally aware of it, but he's not like he doesn't know all the different scenarios and everything that could factor into it.
No, I'm not expecting him to have that, like, to be able to recite that press release the NFL sends out every week with if this game's a win or a tie, then this and this and this.
I think he doesn't know
that they could be division champs on Monday. To me, is absurd.
I think that D'Amico. I've listened to a lot of his coach speak because I think he is a guy that believes his own propaganda, you know, like, and there's a lot of coaches that aren't. They're hypocrites and they don't, you know, act how they preach. I think that D'Amico really is at this point looking at this team like, I'm not going to worry about the playoffs when we've played at many points this season like a team that's going to get destroyed in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, and he's not thinking about it that way, but he knows that this team is not playing the way he wants it to be headed into the playoffs. So I think he's very, so I guess, yeah, maybe I'm naive, but yeah, I think there's a possibility that he just really doesn't know the exact clinching scenario.
Okay, yeah, I differ on that.
I'll tell you one thing. Coaches, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I think there's a zero. I'm just repeating what I was saying, but I think there's a 0% chance that he doesn't know they can be division champions on Monday. Like, that seems silly to me. What were you gonna say about coaches?
The other time where I see this too is that sometimes coaches will kind of reveal like that they don't know certain stats that everybody in the sporting world does because it's being hammered on ESPN or wherever else. Like, I usually believe those coaches. They kind of, a lot of them are, you know, they know the stats and the numbers, but they're not zeroed in and dialed in on, like, oh, Tua's, you know, completing 72% of his passes. Yeah, they're more worried about the functional side of things.
Yeah. People weighing in on that scenario for Christmas, I'd be upset because I bought tickets. First game of the year for me, and I'm coming in from the Woodlands.
Okay. So now, is that what you're thinking about when if the league is worried about it? Are they thinking, like, man, this is a situation where guys, it might not be a good product just because so many guys are...
No, I was literally thinking of what your counterpoint was about the TV product, and you're absolutely right. The TV product is impervious to pain right now. The TV product is Superman, and quarterbacks getting hurt are just bullets bouncing off of Superman's chest.
They're more worried about the possibility of streaming glitches than they are, like, which players get injured or don't play.
A thousand percent, yes. But yeah, people coming in for their first game on Christmas, people giving those tickets as Christmas gifts. I said that when the schedule came out, Seth, we're going to have, and I know there's not physical tickets anymore, you know, it's all on the phone, but I think there's going to be a lot of people here in Houston that are waking up and pulling the stocking out, and there's some sort of, you know, some some sort of piece of paper in there that's representative. Hey, we're going to the game today. You know, like
right,
that's
yeah.
a cool. That could be a cool thing. You know, and if guys aren't playing, I'm with you. And I think I don't know that. Now here's the. I'm talking myself into and out of this thing. D'Amico is somebody that is very open about managing injuries and pain and yeah. and the roster and all that stuff. And they're conservative when it comes to that stuff. I do just wonder if they've clinched. I'm not saying if a healthy CJ sit him and start Davis Mills on December 25th. But well, I do wonder if they're a little more conservative with guys who are banged up.
This is the stuff. Like, when you get into the playoffs, one of the big things that changes is you don't worry nearly as much as, hey, if he injures it now, he might be out for another 3 weeks. You do get into all right, we got to take that risk because we got to win this game. We'll worry about the AFC Championship if we get there.
Yep.
We gotta. So that's where the meter kind of moves a little bit.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
It will.
The guys that are on the injury report, they might get a little bit more conservative.
I
don't think they rest starters.
Right. There's a big distinction there. You're absolutely right. A lot of people weighing in on this. We've talked about people texting in about Odell Beckham Jr. We mentioned that in headlines. He has been released by the Dolphins, so he will not be out there getting his requisite 8 snaps against the Texans this weekend. It's amazing how big a star OBJ still is. You know what I mean? Like that, mm-hmm. that people are texting in. Have you guys mentioned that Odell Beckham Jr. got cut? Yeah, we did, as a subtext to the Texans headline. For about 2 minutes, we talked about it. Like, he, you know how far removed he is from the guy who made that one-handed catch, everybody? He's a borderline practice squad caliber player right now.
He could still make the one-handed catches. It's a matter of getting open to catch the one-handed
yes, there you
catch.
Go. Good call, Seth.
You know, you take Jerry Rice, can still make a lot of the catches he made.
Yeah.
It's the running, it's the running to the catch point that's an issue.
That's the hard part. All right.
If you take a casual sports fan,
yeah.
I wonder how many people think that Odell Beckham Jr. is a Hall of Famer, erroneously. Like, if they think that he's a future Hall of Famer because of his name brand appeal.
Yeah. Here's
But he's not. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's
117th on the all-time receiving list. He's not anywhere near the guys that are in there.
He had a couple big years, and I'm somebody who's sympathetic to the small burst of greatness that got short-circuited by injuries or whatever. Like, I think like Terrell Davis is a deserving Hall of Famer, and he's in now, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer to me because of his story and the very few years he was really good, he was freaking amazing. Odell Beckham Jr. was really amazing. There's something that just rubs me the wrong way about him, about, you know, the way he kind of angled his way out of New York to get to Cleveland, then Cleveland didn't really like him anymore, and... You know,
in terms of Hall of Fame, that doesn't factor into it at all, because he's the only guys that are anywhere close to him in terms of total receiving yards that are in the Hall of Fame are like guys that played in the 1950s or, you know, tight ends.
You say it doesn't factor at all, and it's not supposed to. And yet Terrell Owens, it took 3 tries to get him in. And everybody you ask about that, who's part of the process, was like, he was a jackass behind the scenes.
No, I'm saying you don't get to that point with Odell Beckham Jr. because he's nowhere near.
Oh yeah,
he's not even in the conversation. He's
the
just
stats
flat out not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I don't have the stats in front of me. I just know he had like 3 like All Pro level years, and then that was it. And I, you know, so Payne and Pendergast with you on a football Friday. I literally have to open the box score, Seth, to the Jaguars game. To use as a prompter for me for the Circle of Swarm right here. And I know it's not just the Jags game. It's the whole season thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so far removed from remembering what any of these Texans have done. It's this 2 weeks has felt like a big, long desert to me.
Well, it's this is going to be more of a, okay, the guys, I'm looking at this as the guys that you want to roll with
future.
Over the next 4 games.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. All right, and that's what we're allowed to do. So let's do this here, Circle of Swarm.
You know, D'Amico always says, swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men, believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
See, the beautiful thing about the Circle of Swarm is it's mine and Seth's thing that we can do with it whatever we want to. It's a subjective selection process of 3 Texans apiece for me and Seth, where we pick the swarmiest Texans. And for the most part, it's a body of work thing with a look ahead to the week. It's a combination of those. But you're right, coming off of the bye week, this is a good way to look at it. I like this. The Texans, for the balance of the season, for this stretch coming up here that you and I just spent 20 minutes talking about, this three games in 11 days, and how do they, who are the guys that we can count on? Who are the guys that we are looking to be the swarmiest of all? Seth, I will let you go first, as always.
All right. Well, this is an easy one. Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico.
I think when healthy, the best player on the team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And going against a defense in Anthony Weaver, who does some, he does some funky things. He does a lot of the things that have given this offensive line issues in the past. But in terms of just what he does defensively as a whole, he does some funky things that are a pain in the butt. But it does create some opportunities. Yeah, and with Nico, he's got that George Springer lead-off home run ability that a lot of times Nico shows up on the first drive. Yeah. And when you can figure out, okay, this defense likes to do this, and if we can get them to really play Nico aggressively on this, then, or show him a look, then we can spring Nico downfield. I think Nico's going to have a big... I'll be surprised if Nico doesn't have a huge play in the first quarter.
Okay, there you go. So Nico's a good one. If we're going to do Nico, we got to make sure Joe Mixon is in there. This offense, until I see them having made some adjustments that balance things out a little bit, Seth, that prove to me that maybe they could bring in somebody else to run the football effectively other than just Joe Mixon, which is literally what it's been in several games this year. I've got to put Mixon in there. I think the offense, as of right now, goes as far as Nico Collins and Joe Mixon can take them in any of the games the rest of the way. Not just in the playoffs, but in the regular season, too. They have a really hard schedule, man. Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, and then a Titans team on the road that they lost to at home. So this ain't easy. I'm putting Joe Mixon in. When he's been great, it's largely been him being great. When he gets shut down, I'm almost giving Joe Mixon a full pass on any of the bad games he's had this year. And I'm saying that the good games he's had have been almost all him.
Yeah.
A lot of it's been him after contact, just being Joe Mixon. So Mixon is my first pick for the Circle of Swarm this week.
Okay, this gets a little bit tougher now because I don't want to...
No Aziz, no Petrie. Those would have been two guys who would have been right in there this week.
It's tough, though, too, because, you know, when I look at Stingley and Lassiter, I have a hard time exactly figuring out which guy I want to put in there, but I feel like at least one of them needs to be in there. Mm-hmm. Likewise with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Who guys, and those guys didn't, they didn't have the effect. They weren't as impactful against the Jaguars as they typically have.
They were invisible on the stat sheet, yeah.
And it's hard to get a hit on Tua because he gets rid of the ball so quickly.
Yep.
But it's still really important to make him uncomfortable. There's a lot of stress on them this week. I'm going to go with Will Anderson.
I knew it.
For his combo ability to play the run and the pass. And a lot of the RPO game and everything else like that, sometimes it boils down to, all right, make the right read and hit somebody, anybody, whether he has the ball or not. And I feel like Will is going to be well-equipped for that part of the game this week.
That's a good one. It's a good one. All right, I am going to – I'm going to go – you went edge rusher. The easy thing for me to do would be to put Danielle Hunter in and say, look, we got them both in. I don't want to do that, though. I don't want to take the easy way. I'm going to take one of those two cornerbacks, and I'm going to say a man who C.J. Stroud himself said should be first-team All-Pro this week, who has been – catalyst in a lot of these games, and he's only got three interceptions on the season, but man, he has been really good locking down his side of the field for the most part, and he's a willing tackler as well. Maybe not a hard hitter swarmy tackler, but Derek Stingley Jr. is very, very physical, and I think they're going to need to force some turnovers in these games coming up. The Dolphins game for sure, the Chiefs and Ravens games. I am putting, and he's been great this year, I'm putting Stingley in the Circle of Swarm for this week.
Okay.
So all
right.
We got Will Anderson.
This is my last selection, right?
This is your last one, man. You got to make it count.
So, Laremy Tunsil. You know, Bobby Slowick.
Hold up. Is this you putting him in or are you workshopping
it? I'm discussing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Laremy Tunsil has played really well the last few weeks.
Oh my God.
I'm going to point to a curious example for why I think he might be eligible this week.
Okay.
His illegal man downfield from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was that the Lions game?
That was the Cowboys game.
That's right.
Cowboys game, yeah.
The pass I'm going to give him on that play was that his error was in trying to sell the run too hard.
Wow.
Like when it comes to attention to detail and everything, yes, he went too far downfield.
Okay.
But it was because he was really, really trying to sell the run.
Okay.
And then he got out there and did his job. But then immediately, what did we see? When he realized it was his fault, he looked upset about it. And not in a, I can't believe you called that type of way. It looked like he felt shame.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And along these last few weeks, too, I think I've seen a different version of him more consistently in the run game. The Jaguars game, I thought there was a scrappiness to him blocking in the run game.
Yeah.
The Titans game, he had some losses or some just physical knockbacks that I wasn't happy about. Mm-hmm. But maybe part of this is aspirational, that I want him to continue that.
Ben, do you see this? Are you listening to this, Ben? Oh, my God. It's crazy.
I'm putting Laremy Tunsil in the circle of shame.
What?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'm doing Laremy Tunsil.
That's right.
Based on
the last few weeks, his overall play as a pass protector over the entire season, but then in these last few weeks, I think he stepped it up a notch in the run game, and that is one of the huge wow. glaring weaknesses on the team right now.
Oh my God, Houston! Have you heard the good news? An offensive lineman has landed in the Payne and Pendergast circle of swarm.
Don't embarrass me out there, Laremy. Embarrass me out there,
well,
all right?
Do you think there's any extra juice in these Dolphin games for Laremy since that was the team that traded him, right?
I didn't even think about that. I know Laremy always struck me as like, hey, I'm about to get paid.
Laremy himself, when he found out when he found out what he got traded for, remember, he's like, well, I would have traded me too.
If anything, I think he was extremely flattered that he got traded. I don't think there's any ill will at all in his mind about the fact that they traded him, and within a year he would become the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL.
All right. So Laremy Tunsil, I can't wait to see the react on the text page for that. The circle of swarm has gotten a little more and more controversial for people week by week. Now, some of it is because I'm a little absent-minded and I forget to put deserving people in
there. Right.
Derek Barnett a few weeks
Derek
ago.
Derek Barnett could barely get out of bed for 2 weeks.
Right.
When he found
over
out
this.
That there was almost nothing. He basically learned there was nothing he could do to earn Sean Pendergast's vote.
Yep.
After he had a forced fumble, recovered fumble, touchdown. All of that.
On the same
Sean
play.
Like, eh,
on the same play. He forced the fumble and scored a touchdown. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil.
For 1 week.
Laremy.
Don't embarrass me out there, Laremy.
Laremy.
Swarm this week. Yeah.
All right. So, and people are, once someone says, guarantee Laremy gets a penalty now and again.
I'm going to be so pissed. I will turn on this so fast.
Someone's boycotting the show over that selection. Oh, it's great.
Hey,
keep texting.
Listen, you got to have a growth mindset, everybody.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Nothing ever stays the same.
Yeah, you got to be
things
forgiving.
Get better, things get worse,
yep.
Relationships change. And I think Laremy Tunsil has bought in over these last few weeks. I feel like there's a more consistent overall effort to be a complete player than we'd seen out of him before. So I think he's reading the motivational posters. He's taking in the pep talks, the conversations, all of that. And I'm just it's a very small window of time. This might be the last time he's ever on if he disappoints me this week. He's in the circle of swarm for
that. I pray for your sake that he doesn't get a false start in the first quarter of this game. At Seth C. Payne, going to be getting a whole lot of run.
Man, I was talking to Drew Hodgson yesterday, and I was showing him, I was pulling out my notes from back when early this season when Laremy had just so many, he had 12 penalties in the first however many games.
Yep.
And I was going through, I was going through the all-pro seasons of the previous five offensive tackles who are all pros for the previous five seasons, and it was like I had to go back. I think I went back four or five seasons before they as a group had as many penalties as Laremy Tunsil had in that one game or in that one chunk of season.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because people were like some of the writers who were subject to the O-line propaganda machine were saying, well, he's just trying to time the snap. Like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's what everybody else is doing. And they do it much, 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 much better than him. So,
yep.
But it hasn't been as much of an issue as of late.
Nope. And nobody was angrier at the offensive line when it was going through its real struggles than you were. So I think the people should know, you're right. This is a sign. forgiveness this time of year, people. It's the holidays. It's a good thing, you know? So good job, Seth.
What would Jesus do? Jesus would hesitantly put Laramie Tunsil in the circle of scorn.
I think it's been written. Yes, absolutely he would.
Today's the day I open the door on my Advent calendar.
Today's
and there's
the...
There's a picture of Laramie Tunsil.
There should be. Today is the first day of the 12 days of Christmas. On the 12th day of Christmas, our true love gave to us 12 Laramie swarming. That's what they gave to us. So I still need to make a pick here. Okay. So you put a lot of pressure on me by picking Laramie because you're right. Danielle Hunter, very deserving and very necessary. Kamari Lassiter, very deserving, very necessary to be swarmy. Kalen Bullock is getting a lot of love on the... on the text page right
now.
Oh,
boy. All right. Yes.
I would ask the question, too. You know, if this circle of swarm is as much about necessity or even more about necessity moving forward than it is about past performance, should I even be entertaining a Christian Harris in the circle of swarm? Or are you required to have at least played one snap on the season to be in the circle of swarm?
Or at least even like a three-quarter speed rep in practice.
Yeah, so I'll cross Christian Harris off the list. Okay.
I want him to be in the circle of swarm next week.
Next week,
yeah,
that's
to show
a good
up and
call.
Play football
next,
at least once.
This is what happens when I'm sitting at third base at the blackjack table.
So you
I might
got,
hit
okay.
on 17. You never know.
I would say, so the candidates, you got Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, Jimmy Ward.
Stingley's in.
Yeah, but you could put him in twice.
I think you meant Hunter. Hunter,
yeah.
Lassiter, Bullock, Jimmy Ward's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, I got to make this pick here. Danielle Hunter, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock,
this is
Bullock,
a week that's, a, you know, this week versus the Dolphins, it's a lot about tackling
yes.
in the open field.
Yep.
The D-line can... They can have an impact, but it's not going to show up in huge numbers.
Yeah. You're reading my mind right now. I think it's good that you put Will Anderson Jr. in because you're right. His run game, the way he plays the run, is really crucial. Hunter, I can't put in just because he's the sack artist. He's great in the run, too, but like, you're right. Like, Tua's getting the ball out fast. This could be another game where those guys have an empty sheet for sacks and QB hits and whatnot, or fairly empty. I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter, and it's very specific to this week. Two great wide receivers. You need great corner play from both your guys. And the drop-off after Kamari Lassiter for the Texans at corner, especially if Jalen Petrie is kind of your nickel corner. I know he's not great in coverage, but he plays all those snaps there. Jimmy Ward moves down to there. To me, it's Kamari Lassiter, and you're right. Tackling is at a premium. Can't let a lot of yards after catch, you know, against Waddle or Hill or whoever's catching the ball here. So in a game with those two receivers, I think we put both corners into the circle of swarm.
This is a week where, you know, ideally, D'Amico's not going to want to blitz a lot. He wants to keep everything in front of the defense, and that means your corners are going to be kind of your classic cover two, Lovie Smith-type corners that are playing zone a lot, but they got to come up and run support and hopefully get some hits in that kill zone.
Yes.
I'm hoping that Kamari Lassiter is the guy that people are protesting after this game.
Okay.
I hope they're shaking their heads on Monday morning on Get Up and everything, but like, yeah, they just have to remove this type of behavior from the game. The Texans are a menace. A menace, I tell you.
I love that.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Be a villain, damn
it. Yeah, Aziz gave us the roadmap, man. Just tweet out pictures of the Joker.
He hit him. He hit him in the torso, but it made his head snap back. You got to remove that from the game.
My God, can you imagine how much people would freak out if the Texans social media account tweeted out a picture of the Joker, like Aziz Alshire did last week? Like that, the team is now embracing it. Like, screw that. We're a 53-headed villain right now.
Texans fans are just from me, kind of trying to get the pulse of it.
Yeah.
A lot of Texans fans are like, yeah, I'd love to embrace the villain role, but it's a lot more fun to do when there's championships attached.
Yeah, winning helps.
So they're like, they're kind of hesitant. They're like, all right, listen, we can't really be villains until you're a really good football team.
Yeah, there's a lot of villains in WWE. Some of them wrestle like the fourth match on a 10-match card. You know, like that's...
Yeah, you don't want to be the villain that's just like, oh, my picture is up at the grocery store because I bounced a check.
Right.
No. Be a really
yes,
bad villain.
A manhunt. Absolutely. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
Be a billionaire villain.
Yeah, those are the best kind and the safest. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. We're going to do 5 Reasons I Hate You at 8:25. I've got a few already if you want to participate. If you've got reasons you hate the Dolphins, text in 713-572-4610. Maybe yours make it into the 5 Reasons I Hate You. Up next, Bill Belichick introduced to the media yesterday. He debunked one big myth about his pursuit of the North Carolina job. We will hear from Bill Belichick coming up next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Bill Belichick, he is the new coach at North Carolina. A lot of people don't know this. I didn't know it until he took this job, but he spent a lot of time in Chapel Hill when he was a kid because his dad was on the coaching staff there. So this has at least an element to it of Bill Belichick coming home. He kind of embraced that yesterday. Told a little story about young Billy as a kid in Chapel Hill.
As a kid, all I knew was college football, and so it's great to come back home to Carolina, you know, back in an environment that I really grew up in. You know, when you're little, you don't remember everything. Obviously, I was too young to remember a lot of things from Carolina, but as I grew up, you know, you hear the same story over and over and over and over again, and so one story I always heard was, Billy's first words were, beat Duke.
Good job, Belichick. Good job.
Good job.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Garrett, that's a whole Garrett Cole, Yankees fan for life poster.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. You win the press conference. That's what you do.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I think that's a little bit, that might be a smidgen more of gung-ho rah-rah than we've ever seen an entire career out of Bill Belichick. Like, so can he make that adaptation to be a guy who has to, you know, motivate the boosters and all of that? I don't know. I think he knows the challenge that he has in front of him. He's gonna show different sides of his personality.
Yeah, we've heard from many people there are multiple sides to Belichick, and he's a smart enough guy to know that he's gonna have to channel his personality in a whole lot of different ways at college than he could at the NFL level. Belichick did debunk one thing. There was a story out there that he had given North Carolina a 400-page document about how he would run a college football. I don't even know how you come up with 400 pages for something like that. He debunked that myth.
Just curious, there were reports that you had prepared a document or organizational Bible. Were those accurate? I reserve a follow-up if the answer is...
Yeah, I mean, don't believe everything you read in the papers, all right? I have no idea where that came from. I don't have a 400-page document. I mean... And to think I would just go out and hand it... I mean, come on.
That is a live audience, man.
Oh, yeah.
That is a warm audience. They're ready to...
That's a warm audience, and we know how, like, small-town college, you almost have to, like, laugh at all of the coaches' jokes and stuff like that, you know?
Well, that's part of the deal. Yeah, the polite laugh.
They kind of...
I don't, man. I know a lot of people are really skeptical about this, and I get it. They're all valid reasons to be skeptical, but it's college football, and we live in a world where... All right, yeah, it can't be the slam dunk hire that Jimbo Fisher or Lincoln Riley was for their teams. I got it's fraught with peril.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to hire a good college head coach.
This is a great
Steve Sarkisian. Yeah. I was skeptical as hell of Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
You know, the swinging for the fences, I think this is an awesome move by UNC. Whether it works out or whether it doesn't, you're bringing a lot of notoriety to your program that it never gets.
Yes.
Ever.
Oh, it's a great gamble. No question about that. Hey, take a listen to this, Seth. This is Brian Belichick, Bill Belichick's son, who he's actually part of the Patriots staff still in New England. He works for Gerard Mayo. He's their safety coach. He's not the son that it's generally thought that Bill Belichick might be greasing the skids to become the North Carolina coach in a few years, Steve Belichick. Brian Belichick works for the Patriots. Take a listen to this. Does this sound like a 30-year-old version of Bill Belichick?
I did hear something else happen this week. Really happy for my dad. I mean, he's... I think a lot of people are excited, including him, and it's going to be... fun to watch, and he loves coaching football. That's what he's should be doing, and it's gonna be great. It's really exciting, really happy for him, and I think we're all excited to watch it.
Yeah, he sounds like a pre-puberty Belichick.
Sounds so excited.
he sounds like his dad. Sounds exactly like him.
He's so excited.
Yeah. Hey,
the other thing too. I've seen people say, like, oh, man. Some people say it's sad that Belichick is still coaching. Like, this is a guy that sacrificed his family for... Like, you got to point out, Belichick's actually really tight with his kids. You know, his son's followed him into coaching. His daughter's out there on the sidelines with him all the time. Like, okay, he got divorced. Yeah, it happens, you know? Like, oh, no. Like, it's not like his life is in shambles and this is the only thing he has to cling to.
I can tell you from firsthand experience, just because you get divorced doesn't mean that you're not... tight
right,
with your kids.
What are you even doing? Your life is a failure. Right. Like, all right, yeah. Like, right. He loves coaching.
He does.
This was the opportunity that he had, so he took it.
I think it's great. I
think most people, if you genuinely love what you do, most people who really, really love what they do, when they stop working, it's more just because they're not good at what they do anymore.
Right.
You know, with the coach, I think there are a lot of coaches that would coach into their 80s. It's just, then it's a combination of, all right, with ageism, and you're not as good at what you do, but also people aren't going to give you that extra opportunity.
Yeah.
So you're just forced out the door. Whereas Belichick, I think Belichick will keep coaching as long as he's capable of coaching.
As long as he's good at it. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of coaching, I'm very curious your thoughts on this. NFL Films is dropping a special, like a mini documentary, on Jeff Stoutland, who's the offensive line coach with the Eagles, who's been the O-line coach there through multiple coaching regimes. He's excellent at his job, and he was on the Cornell staff when you were there, right?
Yeah, he's such an offensive line coach that he was the pro liaison for Cornell back in the day when I was there, like the guy that talks to the scouts and everything.
Yeah.
Not a very labor-intensive part of the job at Cornell, but it's not like all the guys rifling.
You actually forced him to do work in that capacity.
We get guys, but even he was like, I remember talking to Jeff, and I was like, because Jeff would tell all these scouts, Seth would be an awesome offensive lineman. And I'm like, hey, coach, like, all right, listen, I don't want to play offensive line.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking, and I know you want me to play offensive line for you. But he was like, the players loved him, and it was his first year as an offensive line coach was at Cornell, and he still keeps up with those guys to this day. Those guys are the DePaula twins, Jeff Gilkinson, these guys that I played with.
That's
they
great.
Still have a relationship with Stoutland because he's just an awesome guy.
Here's the promo for this special. I've watched the 8-minute clip of it. This is about a 1-minute clip. This dude does seem like an awesome guy.
Jeff Stoutland was my O-line coach for over a decade and had an endless supply of quotes at his disposal.
I always say this, no man is an island. You must draw your strength from others.
Fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks one time. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times.
Another one of his favorite ones is effort requires no talent.
If guys are kind of outside with their hands, lobster season in Maine again.
And I'll say something like, execution fuels emotion. Bang, that might hit a guy. That might help a guy focus.
Stout's quotes have helped a lot of players over his 12 years in Philadelphia.
This starts up front on the O-line. You've got to give Jeff Stoutland, the O-line coach, a ton of credit.
Yeah.
The offensive line is dominating football games.
He's coached 23 Pro Bowlers and 10 first-team All-Pros, including all six of my All-Pro selections.
That's not, when they say 23 Pro Bowlers, that's not 23 Pro Bowl berths spread out over three dudes. Yeah, like, that's 23 guys who have made the Pro Bowl under Jeff Stoutland's watch.
Yeah. No, Stoutland's awesome, and that's why he's been there through, how many head coaches now? Three?
Several,
Chip Kelly was the first one to hire him, and he hired him without knowing him at all.
Yeah.
He's very, very good at what he does, and I think you get jealous a little bit when the Texans have had offensive line issues seemingly ever, like, since the end of Kubiak.
Yep.
It's the last time you felt really, really good about the offensive line in total. It would be awesome to get a guy like that. Yeah. My best Jeff Stoutland story was this. I'm trying to remember. I think Scott Carroll, one of my quarterbacks in college, told me this. He was, because I think he was the offensive coordinator the last year. He told the players, he was like, you guys, I take a different route to work every day. And he only lived like 5 minutes away from the stadium. I take a different route to work every day. Why? Tendencies. And then he went into a lesson of, you don't want anybody to get to know your tendencies.
Oh,
you gotta, you gotta vary it up. You gotta just always be impossible to pin down. Oh, don't let them know your tendencies. He took a different route to work. I'm guessing what was a 2.5 mile commute. He found a way to take a different route every day.
Tendencies. That's tremendous. His wife seems really cool too. She seems like a big like mama bear to all the offensive linemen that he coaches and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Jason Kelce met his wife, then girlfriend, like, she was at her first Eagles game as his girlfriend, she apparently walked up to her, looked up at her because she's really tall, and said, "Don't you effing break his heart." Like, really protective of Jason Kelce is pretty funny.
One thing I'll say about that, Jason Kelce, he's got to get off the teleprompter.
He was the narrator of that.
That wasn't the Jason Kelce that I wanted to hear. Yeah.
He was the narrator.
They should have let him improvise a little bit.
That would have been good.
Give him some bullet points and then you don't want to edit later, you lazy bones.
Right. All right. Payne and Pendergast into the 8 o'clock hour. So Football Friday, but the Astros are lurking here with some of the rumors with Bregman and Tucker. The odds are out on next year's World Series and American League pennant.
Mm-hmm.
Are we buying this for the Astros? I know it is moment here looking at these. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.